I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
As we continue our study in the book of Joel, we come to verse 14 of chapter 3. It reads like this: Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I've taken that phrase, the valley of decision, for the title of my teaching, from Joel chapter 3 and verses 9 to 17.
Rise, glorious conqueror, rise into thy native skies, assume thy rights. And where in manifold the clouds are backward rolled, pass through those gates of gold and ringing light. Victor or death and hell,
Thank you, choir, and thank you for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, and I'm your friend and Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst. At Heralds of Hope, our mission is to use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. We're sharing the good news of Jesus around the world in English and 24 other languages. We use radio, print, and digital platforms to share the gospel. If you listen to The Voice of Hope regularly, then you know that we're currently studying in the Old Testament book of Joel. I've learned so much as I've studied and prepared for this series of teaching. And no, it isn't the easiest portion of Scripture to understand, but does that mean we should ignore it? Absolutely not. And yet, you know, that's what happens in many churches. Prophetic teaching makes up approximately 1/4 of all Scripture. So how can we ignore it if we are to take the Word of God seriously? When I was ordained, I promised to faithfully declare the whole counsel of God, that is, the entire scope of Scripture. Now, I certainly don't claim to have all the answers, and nor do I get it right all the time. But when I stand before God to give an account of how I've handled His Word, I don't want to be ashamed to acknowledge that I have neglected the hard parts of it. If you're part of a church where these portions of Scripture are ignored, then I urge you to challenge your leaders, your pastor. Tell them you want to hear teaching and preaching on these subjects from these portions of Scripture, and then assure them that you will pray faithfully for them as they deal with some of these challenging portions of Scripture. Your pastor will benefit, you will benefit, and so will the whole congregation. And by the way, if you missed the earlier teaching from this series from Joel, just go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to all the teaching from this series prior to this episode, as well as many other archive teaching programs. It's all there for your encouragement and edification and blessing. Once again, you're listening to The Voice of Hope, and we're delighted to have you join us. Today, we're continuing our study in the Old Testament book of Joel, and my teaching is titled, The Valley of Decision. Think just a moment about some of the experiences you've had in life. I'll venture to guess that most of them are the result of some sort of human decision or planning, decisions that either you made or someone else made for you. Your employer has a specific outcome in mind when he assigns work for you to do. He decides what needs to happen today in order to reach the outcome that he has in mind. And if you're self-employed, it's your customers who make those decisions for you. And if you're a student, your teachers or the school system you're part of decides what you need to learn during the current academic year. But not all events in life are under our control. You know that. Insurance companies have a term for these events. They call them acts of God. Things like tornadoes and hurricanes, floods, lightning strikes, and other events, all of them fall under this term. And you and I have no part in deciding when or where these events will happen. And even if we did know the when and the where, we'd still be powerless to stop them. The recent earthquakes in Turkey and Morocco are clear examples of what we're talking about. God is gracious to us as human beings in that He allows us the privilege of making many decisions for ourselves every day. But just like the weather-related events that we talked about just a moment ago, there are other decisions God makes in which you and I have no part at all. As we continue our study in the book of Joel, we come to verse 14 of chapter 3. It reads like this: "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." I've taken that phrase, the valley of decision, for the title of my teaching, from Joel chapter 3 and verses 9 to 17. So I invite you to turn in your copies of the scripture, whether they're in print or electronic, to Joel chapter 3, and I will begin reading at verse 9. "Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for His people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again." Now, let's follow the steps of decision that Joel lays out for us regarding the events of the last days. We find them here in this text that I just read. The first step laid out for us regarding the events of these last days is the preparation. As human beings, we seldom, if ever, make decisions in a vacuum. What I mean by that is there are circumstances that surround our decision-making processes. We gather information, and then we sort it, and then we analyze it, we think it through. And in that process, some pieces of information we discard, other pieces of information we assign greater weight to. One of the things I often do, and I assume you do it too, is we look at the pros and cons, or we look at the advantages and disadvantages that will result from making a particular decision. Hopefully, we're looking for the best possible outcome for everyone who will be affected by the decision that we're making. And if we short-circuit this process, then we most likely end up with a poor decision. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, even after the decision is made, I am sometimes prone to second-guess what I decided. But you know, God isn't like us. He knows everything. He sees the whole picture from beginning to end. Because He's eternal, He exists outside of time. So with Him, there is no present or past or future. All time with Him is now. And that means His decisions are always right, and there's no second-guessing His plans. God never goes back and says, oops, I have to think that one through again. As God continues revealing His plans to the prophet Joel, He tells him of a time that's coming when He will judge the nations of the world. Now, some of us who study the Scriptures believe that what Joel is talking about in our text is Armageddon. Now, I grant you, Joel doesn't use that term, but we see in Joel's description some of the similar phrasing from Revelation 16:16. There, in the context of the bowl judgments, we read this description. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, now listen, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And now again, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. We'll come back to this later. You know, one of the challenges of studying and explaining prophetic scriptures is that not everything is in neat chronological order. So it can be challenging to understand and piece together how these things will unfold. And I'll say now what I've said before, that's why we need to be gracious with each other and not too dogmatic when we're teaching on some of these areas of prophetic scripture. You know, the people who lived on earth during the time of Jesus, they had misperceptions or misconceptions about his life and ministry. And most likely those of us who live through the events that lead up to his second coming will also have some surprises in how things work out in the end. But notice the preparation God is making through the prophet Joel. Verse 9 begins with these words, "Proclaim this." Now the word "proclaim" foreshadows a word from the Lord, and the pronoun "this" refers to the command that follows. So Joel has a word from God Almighty. And the command is, "Prepare for war." The Hebrew word used for prepare is kadesh. Now, we've seen this word earlier in Joel's prophecy. If you flip back in your Bible to Joel chapter 2 and verse 15, what does it say? Let me read it for you. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly." The word prepare isn't in there. You didn't hear it, did you? Well, it is, but it's translated differently. It's translated as consecrate. It's the same word used in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 30, where God tells Moses to anoint and consecrate or sanctify Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. It means to set apart for a special reason or for a special purpose. Now, how do you sanctify or set apart or consecrate a war? Well, historically, we know that the nations of the Middle East offered sacrifices to their gods just before they went into battle. They hoped to obtain the favor of their gods that would result in victory. And often, the defeated armies would accept the gods of the conquering nation because the victory was proof that their gods were more powerful. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, we have the record of Samuel offering a sacrifice to the Lord as Israel was going out to battle with the Philistines. And then in more recent history, during the times of the world wars, chaplains would lead worship services or serve communion to the soldiers before they went out to the front lines. That's been going on probably since the dawn of humanity. Now, I said earlier that this is most likely what is called the Battle of Armageddon, and it's described in Revelation 16, 14 to 16, and then again in chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. Let me give you just a few important details. Armageddon is made up of two Hebrew words, Har and Megiddo. Har means mountain. Megiddo means to crush, to kill, to strike, or to massacre. So Armageddon is the mountain of desolation or the mountain of destruction. And as I mentioned in previous teaching, this area has been the scene of many, many battles throughout human history. So Megiddo is a mound that developed over several thousand years with the destruction and the rebuilding of 20 or more cities. It overlooks the Jezreel Valley. I've had the incredible privilege of visiting that site, standing on the top of that tell, that mound of destruction, and looking out over the Jezreel Valley. The ruins there are incredible. It's fascinating. Megiddo is the crossroads of the Middle East and the ancient roads that went north and south. Now, you might recall, this is the place where Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites, and also where Gideon wiped out the Midianites. And then through the centuries, Egyptians, Crusaders, Turks, Persians, Arabs, and many, many others have fought battles in this place. When Napoleon came to the area in 1799, he called Megiddo a natural battlefield. And then further, Armageddon, as I understand it, is not just one battle, but it's a series of battles that will ultimately end in the final destruction of the Antichrist and his armies as they make their final assault on Jerusalem. I don't know. Perhaps the armies of the nations will gather on the plains of Megiddo in preparation for that final march on Jerusalem. And when they get there, they will meet their destruction in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. We mentioned that in our earlier teaching from this chapter. So let's go on and look at a few more preparations. Joel writes, "Wake up, mighty men." Does that imply a time of peace? According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul is writing about the day of the Lord, he says that peace and safety will be the precursor to sudden destruction. In my study of the scripture, it seems like the Antichrist will bring a temporary peace to the earth. But after he violates his covenant with the Jewish people and proclaims himself as God, then war will break out. Part of these preparations are that the mighty men are to awake. The Hebrew word for mighty men is gibberim, and it's a term that's used in 2 Samuel chapter 23, where we have the listing of David's mighty men and some of the exploits they performed. Now, these were men of renown, men of extraordinary skill and ability. Today, we might call them David's elite special forces. So the skilled warriors are one group that is being summoned to this battle. Let's look now at verse 10 in the context of this step of preparation. It says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." What? Wait a minute, that's backwards, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4 speaks of these same agricultural implements, but it's very different. It says, "He," that's God, "shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And if you would turn to Micah chapter 4 and verse 3, you would see that Micah repeats this idea almost verbatim. Evidently then, this time Joel is predicting is a time for war and not for peace. And the mention of the agricultural tools seems to indicate that even farmers will be mobilized for battle. And then beyond that, those who are physically weak are told to say, "I am strong." Now, I don't know if they're supernaturally empowered by Satan, or if it's braggadocio, or false confidence, or maybe even war euphoria. I don't know. But all of them are called to hurry together to the battle site where they will be judged, according to verse 2 of this chapter. So this battle is urgent. God will punish all those who have rejected his rule. So all the nations are commanded to assemble and come together. Some commentators take issue with the wording of all nations. They say it can't possibly mean the nations of the world in totality. Okay, I get that. But it is possible that in this horde of people, all nations will be represented. In verse 12, God says, "Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations." And then look at what Joel says at the end of verse 11. "Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord." What is Joel asking God for? God's mighty ones will confront the mighty ones of the enemy. Listen to Revelation 19:11-16. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Now listen, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So that's the preparation. God is setting the stage to fulfill his plans. This understanding of the preparation leads us to the next step in the Valley of Decision. And that next step is the presentation. But our exploration of that next step will need to wait until our next time together, because we're almost out of time on this broadcast. Were you blessed by today's teaching? If you'd like to review this teaching or share it with someone else, you may request a complete copy of today's teaching. It will include what you heard today, as well as the teaching from our next program. It's available either in print or as a digital audio file. Just ask for the teaching by its title, The Valley of Decision. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you have a comment or a prayer request, feel free to share those with us too, using any of the contact information that I just gave to you. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and then you can browse the site and you can listen at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And if you'd like to help this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now don't forget to join me next week for the Voice of Hope as we continue our study, The Valley of Decision. And until we meet again,
who has held the oceans in his hands? Has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds?
Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humbled to the grave. Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign.
Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
You will reign.
Let your glory fill the earth.
You will reign.
Let your glory fill the earth.
You will reign.
Let your glory fill the earth.
You will reign
forever.
Seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him.